Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Maseches Makos Daf Chaf Aleph. We begin 9 lines off the top of the Yomid V'chayev al Rosh. So in the Mishnah we learned, if a man shaves off his peyos, he is liable to Malkus. 2 sets of Malkus, actually. 1 per side. 1 per peyah. V'chayev al Rosh, Machvir Rav Sheshes. Where exactly are we referring to? Rav Sheshes pointed to his temples. Bein Pirkei De Reisha. Rivan explains, Pirkei are the sections, where these sections connect, and actually it's referring to the temple area. So if one runs a straight line, he shaves off all hair between his forehead, which is absent of hair, all the way back to behind his ear, which is also absent of hair. He shaves off that section, which is the temple area. That's the Isser we're speaking about. So it's a total of 2 Isurim, 1 per side. While Azakan, regarding shaving one's beard, there as well. There are several sections, several specific areas, corners, which are forbidden to be shaved. Shtayim mikan, u'shtayim mikan v'achos mulamato. 2 on either side of one's face, and 1 on the bottom of the chin. So again, Rav Sheshes demonstrated this on himself. Machvir Rav Sheshes bein pirkei de digna, by the connecting points of the sections of the facial sections, and the Rivan explained. So it's 1 corner where the cheekbone meets the temple area, somewhere over there. Then there's another corner on bottom where the cheekbone protrudes near the chin section. So that's 2 on the right, 2 on the left, and then mid-chin, the point on bottom. There's some ambiguity in terms of precise location of these corners, so to speak. Hence, we keep off. We refrain from shaving using, forbidden instruments like a razor or a very sharp, electric shaver. One of the primary factors to consider is whether the blade inside that revolving shaver head is considered a razor. Technically, if it's very sharp, it has the ability to shave on its own without that film, without that guard. So if it's actually just cutting with the guard, then it constitutes if it needs the guard to cut, it constitutes considered like a scissors, which, as we're going to see in a minute, is not included in the Isser, the way we paskin. But if it's sharp enough that it can just cut on its own, and the cover is just sort of a protective, guard, then it would be a problem. Okay, Rav Lezer Omer im Natlon, Tanakama says, there are separate chiyuvim, right? Each peya has its own chiyuv. Rav Lezer says, im Natlon, if he does 1 shave, he's only chayiv 1 malchus. Kasavar chad lavu, he holds that it all is covered by the same lav. So removal of all the beard sections are considered really 1 Isser, which generate 1 Malkus. And same applies to the Peyos HaRosh. Both Peyos are covered under 1 Malkus. V'enechayvet shlena betar, Tanakama says, the issue is specific to removal by way of a razor. Now, as the Ravan points out, we have 2 psukim. Just as we had the 2 psukim yesterday regarding karcha, regarding the kaihanim and the Israelim. Today as well, beard removal is asur for kaihanim. L'ishashchis es pa'as zakancha. The lashon is hashchasa, destruction. And that's the pasuk by the Yisraelim. And by the Kohanim we have Upa'asu Kanam Lo Yigalechu Giluach, shaving, hair removal. So by Kohanim we have Lashon Giluach, indicating, the regular conventional mode of hair removal, the way typically, you know, people do that process, the type of instrument you typically use for that. By Israel, we have Lashon Hashchasa. It must accomplish destruction, which means to say complete and total hair removal, all the way down to the root. So the Lashon by the Kehanim is Yigaleichu. By Yisraelim, it's Hashchasa. And we seek to connect the two psukim, sort of share that information, and create a formula which will frame for us the precise act that's Asr, the precise mode of hair removal, which is Asr. Tanur Rabbanan. Okay, so the Tanakhama specifies a tar, a razor. How do we get to a tar? Because a tar, a razor, contains both elements. It's considered, you know, conventional mode of hair removal. It's derech legaleach bayas, the Rabbanan says, as well as it does a completely effective hair removal all the way down to the root. So it's giluach sheyesh bay hashchasa. But if you're lacking one of those elements, it's not an acceptable way of hair removal. Or it's not a complete job. It's lacking either the giluach or the hashchasa. According to Tanakama, he's not liable. Tanur Rabbanan pasuk kanam le'galechu. That's the pasuk by the Kehanim. Yachal afilu gilcha b'misparayim yechayev. So perhaps even using a scissors, which is an acceptable, you know, mode of hair removal, would also generate the liability. Tamalayim lo yisashkes. We skip over to the pasuk by the Israelim. Don't destroy. A scissor does not accomplish utter destruction. It doesn't go down to the, you know, to the root. Ilo yisashkes. If the criterion is hashchasa, perhaps any instrument that accomplishes that qualifies. Yochel im lakdei b'malakit. What about picking it with a tweezers? It completely destroys it, uproots the hair. Rehitni, or some sort of carpenter's plane, some sort of tools, which does the same thing. Yechayev would be liable. No, tamalema. Let's go back to the kliyanim. Lo yigaleichu. It must be derech giluach. Nobody typically uses a plane to shave his beard. Okay, so what's the resulting formula? A combination of both elements. It must be giluach, conventional mode, sheyesh bo hashchasa, which generates full and complete destruction. Havaimer is a tar. We have only one that qualifies for that, which is a razor. Even those other tools qualify. Asks the Gemara, why is he mentioning these and omitting our friendly scissors? What about our scissors? Manavshach, either way, if he's in line with the Gzeira Shava just mentioned, both elements are required, Giluach and Hashchasa, then skip the carpenter tools as well. And the Malakit, right? Only a razor qualifies, Libo Itar. Let him insist on Itar. Ilo Yigamer Gzeira Shava, he's not in line with the Gzeira Shava. So any type of hair removal qualifies, then Misparayim Namiloy. A scissors would also be Aser. Lo Yigam Gamer Gzeira Shava, you're right, he's fully consistent with Gzeira Shava, and requires both components, Giluach and Hashchasa, because however, Haninami, Giluach Avdi, it's just a slight disagreement with Tanakama. He holds that even these, Malakat and Rehitni, are considered Derech Giluach, as the Ravan says, Kilomar, Giluach Mikri, De Derech Legaleich Behen, is considered an acceptable form of hair removal, in which case it qualifies. So again, we have two machlekes between Tanakama and Rabbi Eliezer. Tanakama says he's chayav one malchus per peah, whether it's peah sarosh or peah sazaken. Eliezer says it's covered under the same malchus. Both peah sarosh one, or peah sazaken one malchus. Tanakama requires giluach sheish b'hashchasa, because we sort of pair together the two pesukim, which leaves us only with one option, which is tar. Eliezer adds malakat and rehitni that qualify as well. Says the Mishnah, Akoysev, Ksoivas Ka'aka. Ravan explains, this is accomplished as follows. It's a tattoo. They would mark the skin with some sort of image or writing, and then they would prick the skin to have the skin absorb the writing material, whether it's the ink or the paint or the dye, which will now be absorbed within the skin permanently. And that's asur. HaKosev Ksevis Kaka. He's Chayiv Malkus. Provided he did a complete process. He marked and he absorbed it into the skin, which makes for a permanent mark. Kosav, but suppose he just marked his skin. V'loi kiakeya, but he didn't scrape it into the skin. Or the opposite, kiaka v'loi kosav. He scraped the skin, but he never inserted any writing material. Eino chayiv, there's no liability, ad sheichtiv kiakeya b'yodoi, unless he actually does both. He marks it, and he pricks it in b'yodoi, or b'choil, using his hand, or b'dyoi, with some take out the word b'yodoi, b'dyoi, with ink, or all types of marking materials, paints and colors, b'choil, b'choldova shu reishim, anything that generates a mark, a permanent mark. So, regardless of the content, regardless of what he's writing, whether it's a message, a picture, a tattoo, is asur min haTorah. Although any sort of mark, any sort of is asur, but in terms of malchus, that's only if he marked into his skin a name of Avodah Zarah, declaring his loyalty to Avodah Zarah, shenemar, Uksavis kakal etnitnu bochem, ani Hashem, I'm your Hashem, and no one else. There's no business having a shame of Avodah Zarah on your skin. Omer le Rav Acha ber de Rav le Rav Ashi, ad yichtev ani Hashem mamash. Rav Shimon, he meant the Isser is writing Hashem's name? Omer le, no, lo, lo, that's not what he meant. K'detani bar kaparat, but Kapar expounded on this and explained that the issue is only ein chayiv at sheichtev shem avodas kechavim. If he writes the shame of an idol, shenemar ksev es kakel tindu mochem, ani Hashem, and the message is, I'm your Hashem, ani Hashem v'lo yachar, and none else. You have no business recording avodas zarah on your skin. Here comes an additional layer of isur, midrabanan, amar machaya, amar av adabar av, asun le la'adam sh'itin efer makle al gabi makasay. Even if he doesn't make a permanent mark on his skin, he takes afer makel, which means, you know, burnt ashes, which, when placed on some sort of perforation in one's skin, al gabi makos, if he has a wound and skin's open, and he puts the afer makel for medicinal purposes, even though he's not really intent, he shouldn't be doing that. It's asur. Also, little Adam, sheitin efer makla, al gabi makasa. You know why? Because it's going to stay there for a while, and it's going to appear like a tattoo. B'pnei she'nireis k'ksevis kaka. This is an ism d'rabbanan. Amar Rav Nachm, or Amar Rav, Breda Ravika. So we have six halachis throughout Shas. Some were presented by Rav Malkiah, the Amora that we just referred to, and some by an Amora with a similar name, Rav Malkiah, or Milkiah. So I want to set it up like this. Let me give you the list, so you know clearly who said what. We have a halacha called Shifud. This is in Maseches Beitza regarding a roasting raw, the grill, which is Moktzah. Shefachos, there's a Mishnah, a Meseches Ksuvos, that even if a woman brought in 100 maidservants into the marriage, she's required to do some work to keep her busy and occupied and mentally satisfied, right? So that's a halacha that connects to a Mishnah there. Vigumay, another halacha regarding pubic hair, signs of maturity. Two hairs are required. Even if you don't have the hairs, you just have the gumais, the like the wells where the hair grow from. That's also an indication that there were hair and there was godless. So these three halachas were cited by Rav Malkiyai. Which is, who's the author of those halachas. Whereas the halacha of Bluris, which is in Avodah Zarah, allowing the guy to, giving him a haircut, allowing his long hair to stay, which is connected to Avodah Zarah, that's a halacha in Avodah Zarah. Efer Makle'o, that's our halacha right here in Makkos. Halacha Midrabanan, which is independent of the Mishnah, a new halacha, placing the ashes on the makkah, for concern that it might, refraining from placing it, for concern that it might appear like a Ksavis Kaka, Ugvina. And finally, we have the halacha in Masechet Avodah Zarah as well, explaining why cheese from the Goyim are Asur because of Kashrus concerns. So those three halachas were presented by Rav Malkiya. Malkiya sounds like a queen, like a Malka, right? So it's three and three. We have Shvud, Shvachas, and Kumais. Rav Malkiya, and or Rav Malachov, and we have Bleiris, Efer Makle, and Gvino, Rav Malkaya. So similar names, but different people and different halachos. Rav Papa took issue with one of these items on the list. He says that the halacha, which we called Shvachas, doesn't belong to Rav Malachov, it belongs to Rav Malkaya. Let's shift over to his list. So it's 4 and 2. Instead of 3 and 3, it's 4 and 2. Rav Papa Masnisa no Masnisa. Halachas that relate directly to a Mishnah or a Braisa, Rav Malkaya. That's connected to Rav Malkaya because the Mishnah and the Braisa are like the queens, the sources of halacha upon which we build and elaborate further. That connects to Rav Malkaya, who is a lashon of a queen. Whereas Shmatza, the remaining halachas, the remaining two halachas, which the Shvud and the Gumais, which are Shmaitza, they're not related to a Mishnah, they're independent rabbinic, you know, statements. Indeed, those are sourced in Rav Malach. V'simanach, if you want to recall exactly what's what, Masnisa Malkasa, so the Mishnayas, the Brises, they're the queens, connecting to Rav Malkaya. My Binayu, so what did he change here? So Rav Papa switched around Shvachis, because that's a halacha relating to a Mishnah, and he shifted it over to Rav Malkaya's, column. Okay, Rav Bevi Bar Abaye Kapit, let's go back to the halacha of Ksavis Kaka, and the rabbinic prohibition for even marking a makkah, a wound, with something that might stay there for a while. So Rav Bevi Bar Abaye took it a step further, Kapit, afilu Arivda de Kasulta. So Arivda is the mark, is the mark, the scar that the kusilta, this instrument that they used to draw blood, that mark that it would leave, he wouldn't even cover it with even a slight little mark. He would be careful not to cover it with material that stays, you know, marked permanently, you know, for a long time. Rav Ashi Omer, he disagrees with this whole idea. He says, no, kol makim sheish shamaka makasa mecheach alav, when you have a wound, it's pretty clear and obvious, you're not trying to tattoo yourself, just trying to heal the wound. So the makkah is a clear indication as per your intent, and there's no concern with, you know, appearing like a tattoo. Okay, so a tattoo is also min ha-Torah, according to Tanakama, any sort of mark, any sort of color, which stays there permanently. Shimon Yehuda, Shimon Shimon, the Isser min ha-Torah, the Malkus. The Isser is indeed pertaining to all these, but Malkus min ha-Torah is only if you record a shame of a Dezara in that tattoo. According to some, Midrabanan, one takes care even regarding Efer Mikle on a Makkah. Continues the Mishnah. Nazar Shay Shay Yan Kal Yom. We know that a Nazar who vows to refrain from wine, from Tamei Lameisim, is meant to refrain from these things, lest he be liable to Malkus. So we have a Nazar who's not really compliant. Nazar Shay Shay Yan Kal Yom. He's drinking wine straight all day. How many liabilities? How many malchus? Ein oichayev alachas. He only gets one set of malchus. He was warned once at the outset. So even though he's drinking many bottles, it is considered one violation, one transgression, one hasra, one warning generates one malchus. Amalei al tishta al tishta. But if they repeatedly warn him, don't, what are you doing? Don't drink. He drinks. Don't drink. He drinks. Uushoise. In this case, chayev kalachas v'achas. He's liable for each warning and each transgression separately. It's a separate act, a separate issue. Likewise, suppose he was warned in the morning, don't go to the Levaya, don't go to the Beis HaKvaris. He spent the whole day in the Beis HaKvaris. He only chayev one. But amrlei al tetami, he was warned repeatedly, don't. Umetami needs constantly neglecting that warning. Chayev al kolachas v'achas, each act triggers a malchus. Third example would be cutting his hair, right? So he's cutting all day long. It's only one chiv. They repeatedly warn him, don't. And he continues. He chives one per violation. Let's shift to an ordinary person. A regular person shouldn't be wearing kelayim. Here, kelayim refers to shatnez, the mix between wool and linen. He's wearing that jacket all day. It only generates one malchus. But if he was warned repeatedly, what are you doing? Get it off, don't. And he just carelessly neglects that hasra, takes it off, puts it on, takes it off, puts it on. Chayev al kalachas v'achas. Each act is deemed a separate isra and a separate malchus. Talking about bubbling together, packaging together many isurim into one act, says the Mishnah, I'll give you a trivia question. How can a person who simply dug just a little, plowed a little furrow with his animal or animals, be liable to no less than 8 violations, 8 malchus? 8 sets of 39 malchus for one act. Yesh chayresh telem echad. There could be a situation that a person plows merely one little spot, and it triggers 8 violations, 8 lavin and 8 malchus. How is that? He plowed using a joint team of an ox and a donkey. There you go. That's one violation. You're not allowed to plow together. That's kalayim. They happen to be Kaddish. So the Shar is a carbon, and the Chamar is a, you know, the Rivan learns he's a firstborn donkey. Petr Chamar, you have to, you know, take care of it, switch it with the sheep, right? Until you do that, it's Asr, you're not allowed to use it. So he did Kalayim by joining together two species. He used a Shar and a Chamar of Hegdish. Okay, we're not done, but Kalayim Bekerim, it was a vineyard. And by plowing, he covered over some kalayim, the seeds that were in the ground, a mix between a grape seed and a kernel of wheat, and he covered that over with earth, so he now planted kalayim. Oh, it's another issue. Ubishvius, it was the 7th year of the Shemitah cycle, no business plowing the ground. The Yom Tov, it was on Yom Tov, not allowed to plow on Yom Tov. So that's 6. 7 and 8 is because he was a kayin, the kayin, and he also, he was a nazir. Both are not allowed to engage in Tumah, Bekayim v'Nazir, and the area was Tameh, was a place of Kvarim, Besa Tumah. A total of 8 lavim. Chanani ben Chachanai Omer, we're not done. We can add another one. Afa Levish Kalayim, he was wearing Shanes. Amrlei, they said, okay, that's true technically, but Einoi Hashem, that's not for the same, act. The act of Harisha wasn't connected to what he was wearing. So circumstantially, he gets another Issa, but we're looking for as many lavin as we can bunch into one act. Amar Lemsi, he said, well, Af HaNazir, Lohu Hashem. So then what about the Kohen and the Nazir? That's a totally separate element of Issa that's happening. It's unrelated to the actual plowing, right? It's the fact that he's a Kohen and Nazir in a location which is Tameh, so it's not really related to the act of Harisha, and still you included it, so include this one too. Now, actually, the Rivan says, we're not really done. You can have many, many more Yisurim, like you can have five oxen and five donkeys together, so he gets all those extra yisurim. But that's not the point. We're not trying to look for the maximum, looking for the minimum. The minimum, even one shor, one chamor, is eight yisurim at once. Okay, let's first go back to the story of the fellow wearing the kalayim. He was warned once, he gets one malchus. He was warned repeatedly, and the Mishnah says he was getting undressed, so each one generates a separate malchus. Amar, baby Amar of Yosef, poishet v'levish, levish mamish. When we say he took it off and put it back on, it means literally, oyafilu machmesu maitzi besiat, unkli shalai. What about if he just gets his hand out of the sleeve and back in and out? Is that enough to constitute a separate wearing? Machvi, Rav Acha Bar Dav Ika, so Rav Acha Bar Dav Ika showed, demonstrated, yeah, yuli v'afuki, in and out is also sufficient to be considered a separate act of wearing. And and gets him a separate malka. Some learn actually he was being makel. It means a full, complete removal of the beged. So either way, he was answering the question. Either a full or a partial. Ravashi Oimer, no, don't bother taking it off. Afilu leishoho. Listen to this. He's wearing the beged straight through the day. Did not remove it even once. But if he wore it long enough that he can theoretically take it off and put it back on. Let's say it takes him a minute to take it off and on. He's wearing it for 2 minutes, two separate violations. So it's not the act of taking off and putting it on which deems it a separate act of wearing. Even the duration is enough. So if within an hour you can technically take it off and on 50 times, it constitutes 50 separate acts of wearing. Interesting. So one plow equals 8 malchus. Amar Rav Yanai, amongst the group of Chachamim, we discussed and concluded that a chayfa b'kalayim leike. Suppose we have a mix of seeds in the ground, a grape seed with a kernel of wheat. It's already sitting in the hole in the ground, and he goes ahead and doesn't do anything. He just covers it over with dirt. Is that considered? Like it, yeah, he gets malchus. That's considered zayreiav. He planted it, even though he didn't really plant it, covering it over, embedding it in the earth, that is the act of zriya. And he gets malchus. Which is a chiddush, you would think, perhaps zriya is specific to actually inserting. No, even if it's there already, just covering it up, burying it in the ground is enough. Amar lehen Rav Yechon, Rav Yechon responded, guess what? That's the Mishnah of Maseches Malchus. That merely being chayfe b'kalayim constitutes zerei kalayim. Look at the Mishnah. What did he do in the Mishnah? He didn't handle the seeds. He just covered up the seeds. And the Mishnah considers it kalayim, right? Lav Mishnah saying hizu, yesh chayresh telem echad, right? That's the case of the one plow. V'chayv alav mishmashmoyin lavin, ha-chayresh b'shav u'b'chamar, v'emigdoshin, v'kalayim b'kerem. So, hay chayresh de mechayv. This violation of Chayrish Kalayim. How did that come about? Chayrish the Machayev Mishum Kalayim. Hechem Mishkachasla. How is it that simply by plowing, he's liable for Kalayim? Hechem Mishkachasla. Lav de Michsi Behadei Vazla. Apparently, because he just covered it over. He ran his animals across the thing and it shifted some earth into the thing. And apparently, that's considered enough for Kalayim. That's a riot to your halacha. It's not a. It's sourced in the Mishnah. Omar Erle, so he responded, Rabbi Yanai responded to Rabbi Yechonon, you're right on. But it was only because we, crystallize this halacha that now you were able to notice it in the Mishnah, because really, there's another way to learn the Mishnah. It's true, the Mishnah does say, Chayrish Telem Echad triggers an Isra Kalayim, but perhaps that's not related to covering the seeds. Perhaps that's not considered Zerea. Maybe it's not. From the Mishnah itself, you wouldn't have any Raya. You couldn't prove it. Rather, perhaps the Chiv of Kalayim, the Mishnah, is because he was Mekayim. There's a Shita of Rabbi Kiva who holds that if you merely tolerating. You notice, you know, kalayim in your, and you leave it there. You're silently approving of the kalayim. That's also considered isur kalayim, as we're going to see later in the Gemara, based on a pasuk. And perhaps that's why he's asur in the Mishnah as well. Who says it's considered an act of zriyah? You're saying it's an act of zriyah. It's not clear from the Mishnah. But actually, you're right. You're right on. It is true. Ha-chayfei b'kalayim is like him. And in fact, that is the true and correct pshat in the Mishnah. By merely covering over the seeds, he has committed kalayim. And he used like a mashal. He says, Amar Leih, he says to Rabbi Yechanan, Ilav de delaylach chaspa. You know, you find a pearl underneath a you know, a piece of pottery. If not for the fellow who picked up the pottery, he wouldn't have found it beneath it. It was covered up. Likewise, this concept was obscured in the Mishnah, if not for us enlightening you to the fact and sort of directing you to find the proper interpretation of the Mishnah. Ilav did loylech chaspa, if not for the fact that I picked up for you the pottery, the piece, mi mashkachas magnisa tusa, would you have discovered or uncovered the pearl beneath it? Okay, but ultimately he agreed with him that mechapa b'kalayim is loyka as per the Mishnah. Omer le Rish Lakish, Rabbi Yechanan, Rish actually commented to Rabbi Yechanan, you know, the Mishnah itself is not actually so conclusive, because ilav de kilsach gavar rabba, if not for this great man praising you and supporting your interpretation of the Mishnah, that it's the mechapa kalayim that generates the lav, havamina masis and mani rukivi, I would have perhaps suggest that the Mishnah is not holding him accountable for Mechapa B'Kalayim, because the Mishnah is Rabbi Kiva. The Amar HaKayim Kalayim Loike, who says Malkus applies for merely allowing Kalayim to grow. And that's all he did in the Mishnah. But perhaps the Chachamim who disagree with that concept, they require an actual act of planting. Perhaps only planting would qualify, but not Mechapa. My Rabbi Kiva, where do we find Rabbi Kiva? The Sanya Menakesh, Mechapa B'Kalayim Loike. When weeds around the kalayim, so he engenders its growth, improves the area by weeding the area around the kalayim, by machapeh b'kalayim, or he merely covers over, throws some dirt on the kalayim seeds, like that generates malchus. And the run learns that the Rabbi Kiva is really going back on the whole the braisa here. It's all Rabbi Kiva speaking, and he's here to bring out his point. You know what? Not only planting, even Mekayim is like in my time. The Rekiva, why? Based on what? The Sani, the Braiser bases it on a Pasuk. Don't plant Kalayim in your field. Perhaps only planting. Mekayim, what about Mekayim? Tamalayim. So if you look at the Pasuk, it reads like this. Don't crossbreed your animals. Don't plant kalayim in your field. Ubegat kalayim shatnez, right? Don't wear begat. Says the Rivan. The pasuk could have written it differently. It could have said behemtecha kalayim leisarbia. Your animal, don't crossbreed. The Torah chose to put the word kalayim near sadcha. Behemtecha loy sarbia kalayim sadcha leisizr. So we learn a connection. Tamalaymar. Kilayim sot chalai. We read it as though it says kilayim sot chalai. So any sort of kilayim tolerance, any sort of allowing kilayim, even if it doesn't entail a physical act, even if a kayim is included in the isra. Okay, so at the end of the day, the chayrish tell him echad as chayiv mishum shmoin alav. The question is just why. Either it's going like Rabbi Kiva, that Mekayim by Kilayim is like it, or going like the Rabbonah. That's Rabbi Yechanan's opinion. Likewise, Rabbi Yani's opinion. That merely plowing and shifting some dirt and covering up the Kilayim, the Mechapa of Kilayim, constitutes a planting act of Kilayim and generates Malkus. Unbelievable. Hu lulu Rav Nachman. Why are we stopping at number 8? V'lul kinam mishum zerabi yomtev. Remember, it was yomtev, right? So, if he's plowing on Yom Tov, that's one issue. But if that plow accomplished a cover-up, it covered up the seeds as well, There you go. There's another malacha of planting on Yom Tov. There are all kinds of malachas that are asr on Yom Tov. Plowing, planting, separate malachas. Let that be number 9. Amulei, Tana v'shiyar. You write the Tana. It presented an incomplete list. Really, it should be a total of 9. Amulei, he says no. When we have a number cited, it's precise. Tana, Tana, Shmoina. The Tana, the Mishnah. You can't say Tana. He learned v'shiyar and he left. He omitted. He mentioned the number 9. Number 8. Tani Shmoina, about Amris. Tana v'shiyar. You're saying the Tana. Listed with omissions. Amar Le Rabbos. Rabbi responds, you're right. There was no omission here. It was accurate and precise for a reason. Yesh chiluk malachis b'Shabbos, ben chiluk malachis b'Yom Tov. Although when it comes to forbidden acts of work on Shabbos, each act is an independent entity. If one does chayrish and zareah on Shabbos, b'shoigig, he brings 2 separate karbonis. It's based on the psukim, right? But on Yom Tov, it's all one. It's enwrapped in one isser. And even if you commit many isurim on Yom Tov, it's all sort of covered by the same ban. See, the Ravon explains, by on Shabbos, it's a whole different arrangement. On Shabbos, b'mezid, there's chorus, and b'shoigig, there's a chiv chatos. So each act is a separate entity. Each act generates a separate carbon. But Yom Tov, there's no chorus, it's just malchus. And b'shoigig, there's no chatos. So that affects the way we apply the isurim, and it's all one big isur, and is not counted as a separate violation regarding separate malchus. Yesh chiluk malachas b'Shabbos, ve'en chiluk malachas b'Yom Tov. Hence, even if this fellow did 2 separate, distinct malachas on Yom Tov, he plowed and he planted, so to speak, it only triggers 1 malchus. Really, says the Gemara? Oh, so that's Rabbah's response to Rav Nachman. And Rav Nachman actually praised it. He says, Amar Lei, Adot Tehei. Was Ula? Maybe Ula responded. Adot Tehei. This is correct. Adot means on this, Tehei, it stands. Meaning, it's true. It's correct. I agree with you. That there are no differentiations, no chilukim regarding malachis. On Yom Tov, hence, it still remains at a grand total of 8 lavin rather than 9. Esvi Abai Sabai responded to Rabba, right? Rabba was the one who made this distinction. Sabai says, what do you mean? Vein chiluk malachis be Yom Tov? We don't split the malachas by Yom Tov Atnan. Listen to this halacha. Atanya. A mamashal gid hanasha b'cholav b'Yom Tov. Here's another bundle case. He takes a gid hanasha, the vein, which is asr to eat, and he cooks it up with milk on Yom Tov. B'Yom Tov. V'achleni eats it. How many Yisurim did he commit? How many Malkas does he get? Like a Chamish, he gets a total of 5. How? Like a Mishum Eichel Gid, one because he ate the Gid HaNasha, the forbidden material. But like a Mishum Avashal B'Yom Tov, he cooked on Yom Tov. All the cooking on Yom Tov is mutter for Eichel Nefesh, for personal use. Here it's forbidden food, you shouldn't be cooking it. Actually, it's needless cooking. Number 3, but like a Mishum Avashal Gid B'Chalav, he cooked meat and milk together. And he gets malchus for eating a mix of milk and meat. Finally, because he lit a fire. Suppose he lit a fire, right? And it's an unnecessary lighting of fire on Yom Tov, which is us. A total of 5 Yisurim. Rav Misa, now, if what you're saying is correct, that we don't split, we don't get separate malchus for separate malachas on Yom Tov, here, he's getting malchus for cooking on Yom Tov. How could you add another malchus for lighting a fire? Bimi Yisav, what you're saying is true. Mishum Avara, loy, l'chayiv. You can't hold him liable for lighting the fire. He's getting makas for cooking. You're right. Let's delete liability upon lighting a fire. That's off the list. It's not a separate. Instead, insert. What's your you're missing number five? It was a gidanush of an avail of a dead animal. That adds another layer of liability for eating from a dead animal. But Rabchia told us that the five liabilities are split as follows. Are categorized as follows. It's 2 and 3. 2 for eating and 3 for cooking. So the act of eating generates 2 and the act of cooking generates 3. V'misa, according to your calculation, it's the other way around. You added another layer of iser for the eating. Sholosh al chilasei, hu chayev. One because of gidan ashe, one is nevela, one is basar v'chalav. So it's not aligned with Reb Chiya. So how do we jive this with Reb Chiya's categorization as 2 for the achila and 3 for the cooking and still have it work with your principle that on Yontav there are no separate liabilities for separate malachis? Says the Gemara, Ella, you're right. Ella, apik havar v'ayel atzei asheru. Delete the liability for striking the fire. And insert atzei asheru. The firewood that he used was forbidden for use. It was from the Avodah Zarah tree, v'azatim yehocha, and he's warned from this pasuk, v'yidbuk v'yotcha me'uma, don't use and don't benefit from the Avodah Zarah. So it's not really related to Yom Tov, but it certainly expands the list of liabilities. Well, if that's the case, if he used Avodah Zarah for his personal benefit, actually he should get another iser. I'm meant to take this repulsive material into your home. That's another iser. So it's not five, it's up to 6. Ella, rather, we're not speaking about a share, delete that option. My skin was speaking in Shibishloi, but he used Hegdish material to make his barbecue. And the Isra is, based on the Pasuk, burn the Asherah tree. The Pasuk continues, don't you dare do that to Hashem's material, to Hegdish material. Upon doing that, he gets an Isra for a total of 5 Isra. So, in fact, there were no Chiluk Melachos B'Yamtiv, as per our Mishnah. That's why he only has one liability for Harisha. We don't add another one for Zriya. And regarding the story of the Gidanasha, you're right. It's Shtayim al Achilasai and Sholesh al Bishulai. Only one of them is the Yamtiv violation, the cooking unnecessarily on Yamtiv, whereas the other Surim are not Yamtiv related. Okay, let's summarize today's daf. We started with the Peyos HaRosh and Peyos HaZaken, according to Tanakama. What triggers that Malkus, only a Giluach Sheyesh Bo Hashchasa, which is a Tar, Rav Leza adds a Malkut Hitni as well. Ksev is Kaka, according to Rav Shimon, only if the Shema Avodah Zarah was recorded, Midrabbanan. Some say even marking a Maka, a wound, would be a problem. A Nazir engaged in drinking wine, shaving, of becoming Tameh, in one swoop, following one warning, only generates one Malkus. But after repeated warnings, separate liabilities, same thing regarding Shatnez, one Malkus, many Malkus, depending on the circumstance, and according to Maskan of the Gemara, according to one sheet, even just wearing it for a duration of time, which could theoretically allow him to remove and put it back on, will constitute separate violations. Mishnah says one plow, Chayrish Telem Echad, could generate 8 Malkus at a minimum. And the Gemara proves from here that Yichayfe, the Kalayim, is considered like Zereya. And we concluded that Ein Chiluk Melachos B'Yamtiv, hence, Emevashal Gid Anasha, B'Cholav, An Yamtiv, generates 5 Malkiyas, 2 for the Achila, because he ate the Gid Anasha, he ate Basar B'Cholav, and 3 on account of the Bishul. Cooking Basar B'Cholav is an Isra. Cooking An Yamtiv in this fashion is Asra. And since he used the Atzi Hegdish, that gets you to the total of 5. All the best to you and Hatzalach Rab.